Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
There are some people who have something we require, and we want you to get it from them.
You ever kill anybody?
Hurt somebody's feelings once.
You're labor or management?
If I was management, I wouldn't have given you a secret.
Who and how many are going to be coming after us?
You worried about saving your own skin?
Yeah, I am. It covers my body.
You just can't hold out forever. Impossible.
Oh! Almost a bit of raspberry jam right there, eh?
What's the color of the boathouse in here for?
I don't like your attitude.
What's the color of the boathouse?
Well, fuck off!
Welcome to Row Men, a 12-episode miniseries on director John Frankenheimer's 1998 espionage thriller, Ronin, starring Robert De Niro, Jean Reno, and of course, written, quite controversially, by one David Mamet and J.D. Zike. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is episode 9 of Row Men, and scene 9 in the series covers 1 hour in 14 minutes and 49 seconds to 1 hour and 24 minutes on the button. The scene begins with Deirdre and Seamus capturing Gregor, taking him to Paris, and trying to beat the details out of him about the arrival of the case, the very mysterious case. And now I need a Michael Lonsdale to my Robert De Niro, someone to explain the thesis of this movie, someone to articulate the warrior code. Well, she delights in battle and understands that there's something outside of herself. It's the wonderful TV and culture critic from Vulture, Roxana Haddadi. Right now, I'm both a man without a master and a man without a paycheck. Rox, you're a fan of DIY surgery.
Who amongst us is not?
Who amongst us could not say that I love DIY surgery in movies. I'm a big...
I love it.
I mean, even... I don't know if it's controversial. I didn't like Prometheus. I actually like... I don't think anyone did, really. You got to give me a face like, yeah, no, that's the right...
No. I'm giving you a face like, I agree.
Good.
And I think people just reclaimed it after because everything else got so much worse.
Yeah.
That we were like, oh, maybe Prometheus was good. I don't really think so. But you're going to a specific place with this reference, so yes. I'll let you go there.
Prometheus, even in a movie that at the time while I was watching it, I was like, no, this is not for me. No, absolutely not. There is a absolutely chaotic and in true, like, in space, no one can hear you scream, Ridley yes. Scott Bozo mode. Noomi Rapace performs a self-pregnancy of
It's like an alien. It's like a C-section.
A C-section. That's right. She does like a self C-section to get an alien who has infected her unborn child out of her, and then
Of her body,
and then stitches herself back together and uses advanced technology to like help with that healing process. And I just remember in that moment, that whole entire chaotic, bloody, visceral scene, I was like, that's in the pantheon of great DIY surgery scenes. And then on the lower key is we arrive after the Al like Colosseum. We have this incredible moment of surgery that happens where De Niro is like literally instructing the sweet Jean Reno's Vincent to pull this thing out of his gut. It's crazy. And so where we arrive at our scene is we've got Deirdre, we've got Seamus, we've got Gregor, there's Parisian torture. We come into this moment and then there's a sort of recovery. And so that's where we orient ourselves in this sort of beautiful and somewhat quiet part of the movie. Like it's one of those like final breaths before you get some of the other absolutely insane, chaotic things that are going to be happening here. But that's, it's just, that's where we arrive. We come into this moment right here together to have this happen.
You think you could stitch me up on your own? You don't mind, I'm gonna pass out.
Yeah, we've gone through the absolute insanity, which is just very calmly directing someone about how to take a bullet out of your body, and hilariously then saying, okay, now I'm going to pass out, which is just one of the funniest line deliveries De Niro has in this thing. And then, we do. We get this, like, this little character moment series for a few of these people. We get the moment between Seamus and Deirdre where you finally see them snap at each other a little bit, and so you realize here that there's like a gap between these two people, maybe in ideology, maybe in how they think the IRA should move forward, certainly in their approach to what's happening here with the missing case. So I like that moment as sort of a quieter moment of tension. I will say rewatching the torture sequence is funny because, like, is it torture or is it just Gregor getting beaten up? Like, it almost feels quaint a little bit.
Compared to the extremity that can be. But it's also like, that's why I like this movie, is because people get shot and people die. Like, there's, I was watching the other day and I can't even remember the movie. I was only watching it because it was set in Malta, which is where my family are from. I actually watched two movies in a row in Malta. Both terrible. Both terrible. not Maltese movies, just like American movies using it as a geopolitical location.
Yeah.
And I just remember like these military assets, I guess you would call it, running through different places, getting into fistfights and walking out of there looking like me. I mean, I don't look this bad when I wake up, but I would just say like, looking like you just woke up out of bed. That's about as tussled. Mm-hmm. The hair looks slightly off. Their clothes are a little bit crumpled. And I'm like, no, like people, when there's gunfire, people get clipped, people get shot, people get beaten up, people are red-faced. I think that's the other thing that I like, is like Seamus is sort of interrogating and beating up Gregor and he's like wailing on him. And the movie kind of takes a moment to be like, I'm not going to kind of relish in this torture. I'm just going to say that he's getting beaten up and interrogated. But I just like that everyone at this point is completely wired, like haven't slept for days because of all of the hyper-adrenalized activity, have been betrayed, have gone to Arl, have done this negotiation with the CIA agent, have finally gotten Gregor, and in this fallout from Arl, but like at what cost? And that's what that you just mentioned was this beautiful moment between Deirdre and Shane. It's just like, we killed the driver. Like, we've got Gregor, like, they were getting the case for us anyway. Like, we were getting the case.
Why did you do this?
We were getting the case. And the only reason we don't have the case collectively as a team is because you intervened.
You gonna kill me? gonna kill you. Why would I want to kill you? I gave you a job.
I did my job.
So how'd it go wrong?
I thought what you wanted was the kiss.
Oh, we'll get the kiss. Huh? We'll get the kiss, hey, Gregor? Don't you worry about the kiss. But I want an explanation.
An explanation? For what?
You bollocks it up.
I bollocked it up?
You heard him.
Through your fucking contact!
You didn't do your homework.
Why did you have to kill Larry?
Oh, Larry, is it? I was clearing up your mess.
My mess? Oh, well, you take over then.
Eh?
But you can't, can you? It's you that's hiding, isn't it, Seamus? It's you that can't show your face.
Who else thinks that? Who you been talking to?
Isn't that the reason why I'm doing this job?
You're a good girl, Deirdre. Do your job, eh?
Like, who would have had it? And so...
Yeah, no, that is great. And then also the moment where Seamus is like, who's been talking about me? That's such a great little moment to get at, like, the self-obsession of this man.
Yes.
Who I don't think has had a ton of screen time yet. But if you want someone to exude a little bit of crazy, I feel like Jonathan Pryce is the right guy to get.
Oh my God.
And he has like those crazy eyes in that moment. And I guess you're right. I think when I hear torture at this point, I always think of something like Casino Royale,
yeah.
Right? Like nude James Bond getting like physically tortured and maybe like sexually humiliated. But what that like beat up scene does so well, like you said,
one of the great scenes, one of my favorite scenes.
It's a great ever. Scene. It's a great
before scene. I knew Mads Mikkelsen's name, I nicknamed him Whippy McDick because
there you go.
Because I was like,
there you go,
whoever that guy is, Whippy McDick from that movie, he's my new favorite actor.
And he's great.
He's my favorite. Great.
I hope that information gets to Nicholas Winding Refn. That this is how we have nicknamed Mads. Thank you so much for giving him to us. But yeah, I think you're right that like when we then see Gregor, because after this conversation we see Gregor, they're like going to the post office to pick up the case, and like my man does look like Stellan Skarsgård looks like he got the shit beaten out of him. Physically, just how he's carrying himself, that he just is exhausted. Like everyone else is sort of running on, we need to get the case. And I think he shifts into like a certain down gear that's just like survival mode that I think is an interesting contrast. So yeah, I love all of that, the little like peek behind the curtain of what are the people that we now think are the villains of the story? How are they still infighting and communicating with each other? And then we have the other part of this moment, which is the question of like, what is Sam's ideology?
Yeah.
And it's like the Leo pointing at the screen in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood moment where in Ronin, we hear the discussion about Ronin. But I'm really curious about your read on this, because what I love about this moment is you have sort of this question of who are any of these people serving?
Yes.
And as like ex-military, ex-government agents who have now become mercenaries, It's really interesting that they go from a life of sort of forced service to still being in service of someone. Like, it's almost like they couldn't imagine a sort of path forward for themselves. And I love that this theory is like said to Sam and that he sort of like brushes it off a little bit. It's a fun way to get at his interiority with something that he rejects, but I think still strikes a chord with him on some level. And of course, it makes me think of Heat and the ideology of like you can't attach yourself to anything. But I love all of the sort of moments here of like self-reflection and self-analysis that Sam doesn't really allow to occur, but that we as the audience see him sort of wrestling with.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah, enough to move around, thanks.
My hobby. One grows old.
A lot of fellas, friends of mine, I just wanted to lift, open a bar.
Have they lived what they have done it? Then they were spared their disillusion.
Yeah, that's right.
Who were these people, friends of yours?
I wouldn't hurt a friend.
Was that my question?
Right.
Well, who are you?
A fellow like you, trying to make it to retirement.
Well, at the end of the day, we're likely to be punished for our kindnesses.
You don't have to worry about me. I won't hurt you.
the 47 Ronin. Do you know it? 47 samurai whose master was betrayed and killed by another lord. They became Ronin, masterless samurai, disgraced by another man's treachery. And for 3 years they plotted, pretending to be thieves, mercenaries, even madmen that I didn't have time to do. And then one night they struck, slipping into the castle of their lord's betrayer, killing him.
Nice. Like that. My kind of job.
There's something more. All 47 of them committed seppuku, ritual suicide, in the courtyard of the castle.
Well, that I don't like so much.
But you understand it.
What do you mean I understand it?
The warrior code, the delight in the battle, you understand that, yes? But also something more. You understand there is something outside yourself that has to be served. And when that need is gone, when belief has died, what are you? A man without a master.
Right now I'm a man without a paycheck.
The Ronin could have hired themselves to new masters. They could have fought for themselves. But they chose honor. They chose myth.
They chose wrong.
I think it's really a perfect moment because it's like in this moment, you could almost see like Michael Lonsdale, the beautiful Michael Lonsdale, who just is so effortless and perfect. I also love to think that he's basically the guy from Munich in this movie as well. But Michael Lonsdale is so fantastic because in that moment, I don't think Sam is just a Ronin. I just think the idea of two world superpowers, and this is at this beautiful nexus at the end of the 90s, these two world superpowers who've essentially been butting heads for nearly 40 years. Like, you know, by the time the war's gone down, it's collapsing and all these infrastructures are down. And this is sort of like the last gasps of it. That's what makes Japanese culture kind of both unique and romantic in this sense. It's because it's like when you lost, you'd be shamed. You'd be so shamed that you would commit seppuku and you would kill yourself. And it's like, and others who basically were burdened to live with the shame of a failed ideology would then wander the lands just looking for a new master, and money was the new master. And so in this thing, I love that money is the new master, because there's a great line in one of my favorite Australian films. I got to write about it for Bright Wall Dark Room recently, called Goldstone. And there's a great line from a character who's like, you know, it's David Gulpilili's talking to the star of the movie, Aaron Pedersen, as Jay Swan. He's like, my grandfather saw the first white people who came to this country. And he goes, he was talking about them coming here. He's like, and they all worship the same God, money God. And I'm like, that line has just lived with me since that movie came out in 2016. I'm like, yeah, money God. So after your ideology, it's now this. And then the thing is, they have to wrestle with changing ideological allegiances to this money God and some sort of idea of, you know, national pride or whatever that other thing is, whatever, you know, capitalism and communism, all those stupid isms that then couch what it is. But it's like, are you willing to go through the world with the money God as your servant and potentially butt up against your former ideological partners that are out there still part of this? And so I love that he's like explaining this to him. And when I look around, it's like Jean Renault seems like the guy of the group who's just more like providing goods and services almost. He's like the most like, I may have been a French cop who then has just gone off and like worked the black market, but everyone has this story. And so Sam gets the moment of pause and reflection, but the nexus for me now watching it over and over again, especially for this show, is I keep going like, I now imagine every character standing next to Michael Lonsdale, Jean-Pierre, hearing that and trying to imagine what their backstory was. How did they get to where they got to? Was it as cataclysmic as like something happened with Sam? You know, he mentions the torture scene. Did he let something slip? And this was a show of like, his allegiance again to try and get back into the fold. Like, what's that story? Like, Seamus and Deirdre are clearly
actively in their cause. So they're very different, and their passions are very different, and their urgency and their willingness to put themselves in danger and risk death are for causes that are bigger than themselves. And so I think that that's the great question, is like, what is your purpose bigger than you? Bigger than money? And it's a beautiful little scene.
Yeah. Is your purpose bigger than you? Is it bigger than money? And I also think the question here is like, what is the value of loyalty?
Yes.
And how does that complicate this? Because I think that it is before this, right? Where Sam seems really shocked or resentful that Deirdre betrayed them.
Yes.
And it's sort of fascinating to me because it's like, but didn't you, not to say you would expect that to happen, but like, you knew who her, as you said, like where her ideology was most strong. And it wasn't to you guys. It's like, as like a group of mercenaries, right? It's like, it's to the IRA. It is to the reason at this point that she exists. And so it's also really interesting to sort of try to track like what matters to Sam and what bonds does he consider holy and which ones did he anticipate or not anticipate. There's just a lot of really interesting motivating factors, like you said, that become complicated by questions of like intimacy, friendship, sexual connection, of course, money, broader, like, did you work for the East? Did you work for the West? Like, all of these different questions, I think, that sort of complicate the idea of who these characters are and how we are supposed to relate to them. And I just love that you get that in a scene where this man is just like calmly painting miniatures.
Calmly painting miniatures has become a kink online when people watch Henry Cavill paint Warhammer. It's like, it's become something these days, slightly different in 2025 where we are now. But I would just say also, the Gregor double cross is a big double cross, because like, we agreed to relinquish ideology and to go in together to execute a mission which we would all be paid for. So it makes so much sense that they're going to drop everything, they're going to do everything, they're going to cut every corner, they're going to ask for every favor in their own personal lives to make reacquiring Gregor the thing. But I love that second thing, because it is like a double cross, because Deirdre goes with Seamus. And so then now, what's so good and tenuous and why this scene is so perfectly placed when you look at it is, he's asking him about allegiances and he's about asking him about loyalty in a moment when they're about to go and pursue Deirdre. Because the question becomes like, you know, it's like that great line that happens earlier in the film. Jean Reno's like, what would I have to gain by killing you? He's like, well, you know, it's like, well, it could be for the money. He's like, I've got the money. You know, I've got money in my pocket right now. I could just leave if I wanted to. Like, I don't have to kill you for this money. And so the question then becomes, how's he going to convince Vincent to go keep going after these guys? Because it's not, is it about the money or is it about the second betrayal? And it's like, what is it? And then so obviously as the film unfolds, we start to get a little bit more behind thinking about who Sam is. But it's like this great point where it's like, it doesn't seem to make all the sense. He's just talking about the environment. It's like, oh no, he's actually kind of cluing you in that something more is going on with Sam than he's letting on and has been letting on for the entire film.
Yeah, he's like reorganized his priorities at this point in a way that we might not yet understand, but that continue to make the case totally irrelevant. Yes. And I think that's what's always so fun about this is like, I think at this point also, like you said, you're realizing that like the case is no longer the thing.
No.
The series of like betrayals are the thing. And sort of the breaking of the code is the thing.
Yeah.
And if we're continuing this like samurai, Ronin ideology, it's like you betrayed your comrades for something that feels so tenuous and impossible to grasp onto. And like the case doesn't really have permanence. So why did you do it at all? And I think that question really propels us forward into like the Paris chase and into everything that happens after this scene, who Sam says he's going after, like this moment of trying to grapple with like what is a Ronin in the 20th century, like post like Berlin Wall collapse, like post Cold War, like what is that figure? And this scene with just this like quiet, polite French man asking, "Hey Sam, what did your friends want to do when they retired?" Like we get at all of that in like what, like 3 minutes, I think, 4 minutes.
The one of the only other movies that I think really truly delves into and fast forwards it, a fascinating movie, more than necessarily a great movie, is like the 13 Hours movie, deals with this
Okay, interesting.
in a huge way, as in it's the Michael Bay flick about the soldiers of Benghazi, and it's none of these guys are American, formal American military personnel anymore. They are out and they are now private contractors to protect people. And it's this the whole theme of the movie is that at some point they're over there and an American ambassador, an American politician or a secretary of defense or whatever is going for an international visit or an envoy and is killed and or is attacked and they have to go and rescue them. And that movie wrestles with like all of these guys were in the American military for a long time. You don't really know exactly why they've gotten out of it. Maybe it's money, maybe it's whatever. They've gone into private contracting. They're over there and they have to make a decision, which is about ideology, not about money. And ultimately, they make that decision. And that's a very unique and like American context, war, multiple Middle Eastern conflict war.
Post 9/11,
Post-9/11
forever
context,
wars.
forever war context. But I think that strangely enough, another guest on this show, Vice Victus, a former military veteran himself, like always talks so eloquently and I think very intellectually about Michael Bay having some of the most interesting takes on America and the military in his bozo movies. Like some of them are just like pure action movies, etc. But that 13 Hours movie is one of those ones where I feel like it's fa they fast forwarded it radically and had a similar conversation. It is a completely different movie. But I think this movie is, that's why Ronin is so beautiful. It's so elliptical and poetic that it is having this dialogue with you if you're like sponging to hear it. But I think it takes a few watches before you're ready for to sponge it. You know what I mean? It's not as obvious as like, we're now mercenaries. We have to make a choice, you know. Much more obvious engine of storytelling, where Mamet's like, "No, I'm gonna just keep it nice and elliptical and poetic," and Frankenheimer's like, "I love that because I'll shoot the living daylights out of it," and here we are.
Yeah, and it works so well because Sam doesn't agree. And I think that is
Yes.
something that is so interesting too, because I mean, to bring it back to Heat and why I thought about Heat, like the Heat, you have to walk away rule. Everybody agrees with it. Like they understand the logic of it and
Yes.
they just choose to break it or not break it. Whereas I think it's so much more interesting to have someone lay out to Sam, like, "Hey man, I think I understand your whole deal and where you fall within this lineage." And him being like, "Nah, I don't think so. All right, thanks for
No, I don't
helping
think
me.
so.
Bye."
Only to do everything that guy predicts.
Correct. Yes. And
Literally
so that
the exact
is
playbook.
what's so, yeah, it's so fun and it's acted so well. And I don't even know what else that we can say about it, just that it is one of those perfect little scenes that you don't realize the weight of it, to your point, until the movie is over, and probably until your second watch, when you're past all the like twists and turns and betrayals and like what the fuck is in the case, when you've gotten past all of the like really good, well-paced genre stuff, is when I think you can slow down enough to be like, what is this movie saying about how we position ourselves within these like larger systems and identify ourselves by our relationships to the people who pay us or by our relationships to the people who owe us something? And that's like the core of this scene.
That concludes episode 9 of Rome Men, our series on John Frankenheimer's Ronin. Thank you, as always, to my amazing friend Roxana Haddadi, the incredibly talented film critic and culture critic and TV critic over at Vulture Magazine. Always, she impresses me with her insights, with her just razor-sharp observations. She's a gem, and I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed talking to her. Guys, if you're enjoying everything that we're doing here at One Heat Minute Productions, go over to oneheatminute.com. You can find out everything about our show. If you have a little bit of extra scratch to support us, go over to patreon.com/oneheatminute. You can get bonus episodes of our show, The Decade Project, which is a 10-year review show. You can also join our film club, The Juice, where we give you a curation with a special jury. And there's a special tier on our Patreon where you can become part of the jury to make those selections. We'll catch you on the next episode of Roman very, very soon.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.